Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're going to talk in a moment about Abomination, the book Abomination by Jeremy Corsi and Obama, with a 40-page rebuttal. I think Corsi must have, he may have struck a chord there. And when we criticize Obama, please don't assume we're supporting the Republicans. And we'll talk through that. Just a couple words first on Russia invading Georgia, the former Soviet Republic. And it's, you know, one of our listeners told me off the air, called and said, Bob, I was at work talking about Russia bombing Georgia, and one of my coworkers said, oh, no, I hope my cousin in Atlanta is okay. True story. True story. One of our listeners told me that he told his coworkers, do you realize what's happening in the news? Russia is bombing Georgia. And one of his coworkers said, oh, no, I hope my cousin in Atlanta is okay. You know, the coworker was proud to know that Atlanta is in Georgia. That's impressive. And I hope the cousin is okay. I hope the cousin is doing fine. So, all right. And, of course, Russia, this is a land grab, attacking a neighboring nation. And it's happened. It could have been prevented, but the liberal European nations opposed our effort, America's effort, to include Georgia in NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And so because these liberal European nations oppose that, you know, if you're a member of NATO and one of the NATO nations is attacked, then they consider it attack on all the nations. And so there's that protection there implied, so that for Russia to invade Georgia, it would be like invading England or America, and that could have been a major deterrent to them. But the liberal European nations opposed America's effort to include Georgia in NATO, and as a result, Russia realized they had quite the opportunity, and so they took advantage of that opportunity. Now, where will the liberal outrage be? I predict that the criticisms will be shallow and superficial, because Russia kills people historically. They bomb nations for their own selfishness to take more land, and America has freed hundreds of millions of people. We've freed hundreds of millions of people. China and the Soviet Union and the other communist regimes around the world, they have effectively imprisoned billions of people. Imprisoned, meaning you do not have freedom of speech, and you don't have freedom of religion. You don't have freedom of association. You don't have freedom of travel. So when Lenin established communism in the October Revolution, and they first started to create the laws to form the Soviet Union, one of their early laws, it would be a death penalty law. And by the way, liberals say the Soviet Union, it's a liberal-minded, socialist-minded government. So they would think that means it's a good government. Of course, it was atheistic and evolutionary, and they murdered somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 million people. And that's typical of atheistic socialism, Darwinism, evolution, where the strong can destroy the weak for its own survival, the survival of the strongest, survival of the fittest. The strong eats the weak. And so socialist nations, with Darwinian socialist nations, they've typically enslaved their populations. And one of the early laws was if you snuck into the Soviet Union, the penalty would be death. You could only enter the Soviet Union by permission. Now, and then the Soviets, yeah, they did ban the death penalty. They banned the death penalty. That's why liberals love them. They banned the death penalty, then they reenacted it. But then they banned it, and then they reenacted it. But they did ban it, and then they reenacted it. And whether it was banned or enacted was irrelevant because they just kept killing people by the millions. But liberals can't be confused with details like slaughtering tens of millions of people. That's just too fine a detail for a liberal to get their mind around. So you know who the liberals really hate in the big picture? The liberals hate Senator McCarthy. The McCarthyites, liberals, Hollywood, George Clooney, they hate McCarthy. Now, he was a senator. Then there was the House Un-American Activities Committee. They hate, for example, the John Birch Society. Why? Because the John Birch Society was established to expose the wickedness of communism in the Soviet Union and in China and anywhere it reared its ugly, godless head, and to expose where Americans were supportive of communism. That's the purpose of the John Birch Society. Well, liberals, to this very day, like Hollywood, they have a seething, burning hatred of anti-communists. Anti-communists. Now, did the anti-communists kill millions of people? Like the John Birch Society. How many millions of people did the John Birch Society kill? 7 million? The entire population of Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota? No, they didn't. How many people did the John Birch Society murder? 7,000? Not that I know of. Wasn't it about 700 people? No, it wasn't 700. Sorry. That was, seven people. Seven. Oh, not seven? None. They didn't murder anybody, as far as I know. I'm not a member of the John Birch Society. It's a bit too conspiratorial for me. When you could read everything that's happening in the headlines, it can't be a conspiracy. So it's a bit too conspiratorial, and it's a bit too Mormon for me, because Mormons are not Christians. They believe in many gods, not one God. And they also believe that you can be God just like God is God and be worshipped by creatures someday, and that God once was like you, a sinner who got better and became God, and that there are an untold number of gods. So the John Birch Society is a bit too Mormon, and it's a bit too conspiratorial for me, but their purpose in life is to expose communism. And the liberals hate with a seething passion any effort to expose the wickedness of the Soviet Union, communism. They slaughtered 20 million people, their own people for the most part. They robbed the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association, freedom of travel. So you can't travel if you want to leave town, you want to leave the country, you want to go somewhere, you can't. The party has to give you permission. And they tell you what job you're going to do. You don't like that job? Tough. Now, the Soviet Union, it broke apart under its own weight, thanks in part to Ronald Reagan going over to Berlin and calling the Soviet Union the evil empire and challenging Gorbachev to tear down this wall. And as Reagan strengthened our military, the Soviet Union tried to keep up, but communism has a hard time. Communism typically makes everyone poor except for the communist leaders who are wildly wealthy. That's typically how it works. It's equality by spreading out the misery. Everyone, for the most part, is equally miserable. That's how communism works. And so thanks to Ronald Reagan, and because of the fundamental bankruptcy, the moral and economic bankruptcy of communism, it collapsed under its own weight, trying to keep up with America. In fact, when the Soviet Union broke apart, what happened? They had submarines and ships stranded all over the world. Their sailors were stranded, like in Chile and on the coast of Somalia, because they couldn't get back to Russia because they couldn't buy the fuel to get back. Their cosmonauts were stranded in space. They couldn't go get them. I mean, it was a disaster. And gradually, they scrimped and saved and got enough, saved up for a tank of gas and got their ships back. But it was difficult. And they got their cosmonauts. And so instead of countless people trying to sneak into the Soviet Union, instead of that, what did people do? They tried to escape. So Lenin thought, well, we're Marxist, Karl Marx, Communist Manifesto. We're going to get rid of private property. God established private property because the earth belongs to the Lord. And he gave authority over the earth to Adam and Eve and their children and their children and their children. And so you could inherit land, you could purchase land, and God said, do not steal. That tells us there is a right to own private property. Do not steal. And God said, if your neighbor owns land and you steal some of it, that is an abomination. God hates it when people take someone else's land. It's stealing, and it's usually open, outright stealing, utter rebellion against God and hatred toward your neighbor. So communism is outright land reform, where land is just stolen from private landowners, and the government decides which of their cronies will get what. And so the communism basically collapsed under its own weight of wickedness. And when you look at China and all their wealth, well, yeah, the Beijing Olympics, when you have a billion people who are your slaves, you can wreak some economic value out of that. You can wreak economic value. Remember Bob Schaefer went over to the Mariana Islands on a Jack Abramoff corrupt money junket to investigate whether there was forced abortion by the Chinese women who were being employed in American and international textile factories? And he went over there and he said famously, I did not witness a single forced abortion. He's there for a short time. There are photographs of him parasailing with his wife. And he took this serious, serious concern and the sweatshop, slave labor kind of conditions and gave the Mariana Islands a clean bill of health. And it was as ugly and disgusting as you can imagine it. Imagine that, forced abortion and going over there to have fun as a U.S. congressman and coming back and saying, nope, everything is fine over there. So I would like to, we've searched for a report that Bob Schaefer should have put together after he went. He's a U.S. congressman. He's going to investigate allegations of forced abortion and virtual slave labor. So he should have done a report. If anybody out there has Bob Schaefer's report, please send it to us at kgov.com, bob@kgov.com. But he said, the whole time I was there, I didn't witness a single forced abortion. I mean, it's like, it's buffoonish. It's like a buffoon speaking. It's embarrassing. So not only is he a traitor to the unborn, saying his whole career that he supports, he acknowledges that life begins at fertilization. The moment the father's sperm meets the mother's ovum, he said, that's when human life begins. He did this famously in a Roe v. Wade speech in 2000. And he said, it is moral cowardice to not proclaim that truth. It is moral cowardice. Now he wants to be elected a U.S. senator from Colorado to take Wayne Allard's seat. And he's been advised by a secular humanist campaign manager, the chairman of the Colorado Republican Party, Dick Wadhams, who, by the way, ruined the hope for the Republicans to retain the Senate in Virginia a couple years ago and lost the George Allen campaign, because there they had a marriage amendment which motivates the base, the conservative Christian base. They get excited about moral social issues. They want to stand up for what's right. And Dick Wadhams had his candidate stay at arm's length away from the marriage amendment, gave it nothing more than lip service until he was 2 weeks before the end of the campaign, he's looks like he's going to lose. And then they tried to say, oh, we've been all for the marriage amendment. And they went around the state saying, marriage amendment, it was too little, too late. The marriage amendment won by about 330,000 votes, and George Allen lost by a slim margin. So Bob Schaefer, under the advice of his secular humanist campaign manager, Dick Wadhams, is doing the same thing. He's doing the same thing here in Colorado. And even worse, the personhood amendment, something I have advocated, stood for my whole political career. That's how I got my donations to my campaigns, pro-life dollars, pro-life campaign workers, pro-life support. And now that it's on the ballot, a personhood amendment, Amendment 48, vote yes in Colorado, Amendment 48. Now it's on the ballot, I'm opposed to it. You coward. And he said himself that it takes moral courage to stand up for the personhood of the unborn. Bob Schaefer, you are a coward. And so he went over to the Marianas Islands and to investigate these allegations of slave labor and forced abortion, and he couldn't find any forced abortion. He was parasailing. But even with the slave labor, you know, that produces wealth. It produces some wealth. You could wring out some economic benefit. So Bob Schaefer's son, on his filthy website, he's 19 years old, and Bob Schaefer said he's going to discipline his son. And I don't know. He's 19 years old. He's too old to spank. But obviously, and the son has apologized. But the website was utterly filthy. Basically about getting drunk and having sex with girls and the F word here, there, and everywhere. And a joke about slavery with a picture of the pyramids. Basically saying slavery gets things done. But not that politely stated with a vulgarity. So slavery gets things done. Yes, slavery does get things done. And people who manage the slaves, they could wring out some economic value. So China is broke. China is broke if you look at the average standard of living of their people. They're in misery by the hundreds of millions. And China is worse off than they were 30 years ago because now there's another 500 million people who are slaves and have no freedom of speech and freedom of religion and the freedom to marry even. They can't marry unless the state says, okay, now you can marry. They can't have children unless the state says, now you can have a child. And they have if they have a child when they're not allowed, the government takes them by force, takes a woman by force, puts her on an operating table and aborts her by force through her tears and her struggles. And the world should have learned the insanity of going to Munich in the 1936 Olympics and pretending like Berlin, Germany, was a civilized nation that should be treated like such. And the world, the apologists for Germany and for the Olympic Committee's insane, inane decision said, well, this will be good for Germany. It will help normalize them. We will be nice to them. We'll put them on the world stage. We'll let them show the world how great they are, and then they'll be nice. Yeah, that really worked, didn't it? And what we're doing in Beijing, China, unlike what was on KOA radio this past week, saying China is so much better off than they were 30 years ago. China is far worse off because they have another 500 million people enslaved. And they have what? How many forced abortions in the last 30 years? How many? Millions upon millions upon millions. Every single one, a horrified woman who loves her baby and wants her baby, tried to hide her baby, forced to the hospital, forced onto the operating table, forced, invaded, forced, surgical, invasive surgery, and have her baby killed. and how many children have been killed infanticide by the local governing officials because their province exceeded their quota of children? How many have been killed after they were born? And how many parents growing up in that broken and immoral society have sold their own kids into, have sold their kids? There's huge trafficking in children in China. Enormous trafficking in children. And parents who have a baby girl and they have a farm, and since they're so broken by the wickedness of the Chinese godless communism and their socialism, where they're thieves and they commit murder. If you ignore God, reject God, do not murder is not all that big of a hurdle. And forget do not steal. And forget do not bear false witness, like the Chinese gymnast. By the rules of the Olympic Committee, they're supposed to be 16 years of age or turn 16 by December 31st. What are they, 13 years old? 13 and 14? They're just liars, but of course they're liars. They are murderers. And people think, oh, well, this is going to be good for China. This will normalize forced abortion. This normalizes forced abortion. The many hundreds of millions, over a billion people who watched the opening ceremonies were wowed by China and enamored with China. And it helps to normalize and mainstream not only abortion, but even forced abortion. And Planned Parenthood International for decades has given millions upon millions of dollars to China's forced abortion program. And they say they're pro-choice. They are liars. The Democratic Party says they're pro-choice. They are liars. Why won't Obama cry out from the Pepsi Center? Why won't he cry out against China's forced abortion? They don't care. They're liars. They're child killers. They're bloodthirsty. And George Bush goes over and makes a buffoon of himself. A buffoon. If this were 60 years ago and we were in Germany, he would have went to Munich. He's a buffoon. And the Bush family, they had their evangelical advisors to tell them how to get the evangelical vote. And you could read the extremely well-documented books, God and Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was a godly man. And God and George W. Bush, written by the same author. We interviewed him on both books. And he writes of George W. Bush's conversion. And it was a political conversion. His father asked him, we need you to be the point man to the evangelicals. So they asked Billy Graham to come to their Kennebunkport, Maine estate and teach their son how to talk to evangelicals. And, I mean, there are even recorded conversations, read transcripts in the New York Times with George W. Bush and their evangelical advisors. And George Bush says, well, I know that I have to say that Jesus is my personal Savior. I know I have to say that. And I know I can't say that I'm going to go to heaven by my good works. And they were coached. So is his faith sincere? I hope and pray it is. But it's hard to say when you have political primary conversions. It's hard to say. And so we have Christian conservative leaders that increasingly don't even know right from wrong. And now we got John McCain, who's not even Christian. He's an outright pro-abort. In Denver, Jim, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you, Bob. God bless you for holding George Bush's feet to the fire.
Thank you.
The deal about China and their forced abortions and Bush going over there and insisting that, you know, well, he just needs to maintain, you know, political, you know, communications with China, and that's what's going to change him. Well, I think it all boils down to that America kills over 50, 60 million babies, and we don't have a moral ground to stand
on. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right, Jim. That's true.
We can't tell China, you know, that their forced one child per person is wicked when we're over here aborting millions of babies.
That's absolutely true. When somebody's selling child pornography, they're not exactly the best person to rebuke another child pornographer.
Exactly.
Exactly true. But those of us who have repented of these sins, Jesus said, you can see clearly enough to rebuke your brother, rebuke your neighbor.
And could you enlighten the audience, please? I know there's not much time left, but what's the relationship between Bush signing public money to Planned Parenthood every year? How does that work?
Well,
doesn't the Congress have to sign something every year to allot hundreds of millions to Planned Parenthood?
Is it Title 10 money going to Planned Parenthood? Hundreds of millions of dollars.
And doesn't Bush have to sign that every year?
Yeah, he hasn't vetoed those. And John McCain has been a major advocate of money, hundreds of millions of dollars to kill kids.
Well, doesn't it go beyond just not vetoing it? Doesn't he sign the approval of it?
Oh, yeah.
That is wicked.
Yeah, that's utterly wicked. Utterly wicked.
And so,
and you know what they say? They say, "Oh, Planned Parenthood can't use that money for abortion." Do they forget that money is fungible? They don't know that money is fungible. These are buffoons who are evil.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you.
God bless you.
And we're out of time. But so the Soviet Union goes into Georgia, and my guess is the liberal complaints will be pretty shallow and superficial. And when you know the history, their hatred of someone who stood up against the Soviet Union and their communism and China's communism and the slaughter of people by the tens of millions and robbing them of freedom of speech and freedom of religion, freedom of travel, freedom of association, robbing them of all that and freedom of private property ownership, and the liberal tendency to be apologists for that and excuse it. Even the founder of the ACLU, Roger Baldwin, praising the Soviet Union, going to Moscow 20 times and defending them even though they had no freedom of speech. And he said, yeah, but that's a worthwhile price for what they're trying to accomplish. Hypocrites, liars. They hate God. They hate Jesus Christ. And we need to be wise and not tricked by the boogeyman into supporting wickedness and hoping that good might come of it and will save our country if only we elect leaders who will kill just a few millions. Remember Herod. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada and KGOV, KGOV.com.